in your Christian life. So we're going to try to find what is the treasure in this context. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the Gospels. I preach it to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By these Gospels you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach it to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The first treasure what I found is the word of gospel. We already knew the meaning of gospels. What it is? It's a good news. Yeah? The gospel is the good news. So what kinds of good news they receive? The writer of this letter said the foundation of his faith is the good news. So what are the good news nowadays for the people? Got a good job? Or win the lotto and change your life? Or huge amount of inheritance from the parents? Or beautiful house, it's a dream for your retirement. Or your lovely grandchildren. Yes, this is all the good news for the people. I believe that. But there is expire date on these. The joy that we got through this event has expired. When time's gone, the joy is gone. Do you agree that? Yeah. When I got the errand first time, I was so happy, exciting. And then later, every night, crying. And then crying. I like to try to talk with her, but she just crying. Oh. All the joy from those events has expired. But what is the good news that has no expire date on it and give us endless joy? The Paul is going to talk about the good news that has no expire date on it. And Paul said, we, by this good news, you are saved. Another treasure what I found is a save. I look at the English dictionaries, how they explain the word of save. They said, if someone or something saves you from unpleasant actions or experience, they change the situation so that you do not have to do it or experience it. They change the situations. At this point, it will give us more clear understanding of this verse. When we think about who we were before we got saved, why we need to be saved where we were at? And then Paul explained this very well in the other letter to Ephesians chapter 2, the verse 1 to 3. As for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature object of wrath. Who we were? We were dead in our transgressions and sin. And how we lived when we were dead. The sin break the relationship with God. So we were separated from God. He is the only one has a new life, living life. So when we commit the sin, we didn't have any life. We were just live. And we are heading to the God's eternal punishment, the object of the wrath. And we used to live, we follow the ways of this world. This is how we live. And gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And our future? What? So waiting for the end of our life is the by nature object of the wrath. If you are parents, what do you want to give to your children? The good things or bad things? I'm sure that all the parents have same answer to these questions. It's a good thing. What about our Heavenly Father, who created the human being and who created all things for us? Just a moment. Think about who God is. This is a theological term. I like this. But I put another explanation of these terms. Omnipotent is unlimited power. If he wanted to do, he can do it. He is able to do anything. He is the Almighty God. And in omniscience, he knows everything. That means he knows where you are in your situation, even in now. And what you are thinking during Andrew speaking. Oh, I put some food on the oven. Did I turn off the oven or not? I cannot see your mind, but God is able to know that. And omnipresent. When I live in Korea, he was there. And now I live in Canada, in Durham. And he's there too. He is everywhere at the same time. What a great God we believe. He is God, and we call him our Father. And God knows what is the best of the best for us in any situation. And he knows what we most need. For example, if someone was diagnosed with leukemia, and then she was told that she must begin chemotherapy right away, what can be the most important thing and the most important need for her? Money, reputation, or good pensions, or life insurance and beautiful cottage at the beach? No, Not at all. What he need, what she need, she need the treatment to heal her disease. We desperately need the new life to get out of this God's eternal punishment. This is a very simple question that all the people can agree with, but they didn't do this for God. They ignore it. They didn't believe that what God has done for them. We are helpless sinner at one time, according to these scriptures, and all human beings separated from God. And God already knew that what is the cost of our sins. The wages of sins is death. And then God sent his only son to this world to pay our sins. Every week, we have a remembrance. Without this, we are nothing. He paid the wages of sin for us. So now, God, the Jesus Christ said this, I'm the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. No one comes to me except me. And he laid down himself to the death to save us from our eternal punishment. He laid down himself. And then the Paul said this, Jesus Christ died on the cross according to the scriptures. And this is the most important thing that you have to remember. And another treasure, what I found is according to the scriptures. The Jesus Christ came to the world is not by accident. It was a plan by God several thousand years. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God promised Adam and Eve, I will send you deliverer to save you. And then from that time, everything we saw in the Bible is the plan of God. So when Jesus Christ came to this world, he accomplished all the prophecies that God mentions in Old Testament, at least the 44 prophecies. He accomplished. Can you imagine that? Even where Jesus Christ went after he died, the God mentions where he is going to, where he is going to go, wombs. And how he died, God explained it. Why? In the end of the world, the seat of the holy and holy, there is no excuse. Because God gave us many evidence. God made the way for us. When we ignore it, God said, I will punish you even more because you heard the goodness that I made through my son, Jesus Christ. And then second thing that Paul wanted to mention is that he was buried and that he was raised on the Thursday according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. It's not easy for us to understanding of meaning of resurrections. The Paul gives us more clear definition of resurrections in the first the Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 13 to 15. When you are dead in your sins and uncircumcised, uncircumcised of your sinful nature, God made alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled written code with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This verse tells us very clearly, he was buried. Means our old flesh was buried. Do you remember this verse? The old has gone. Yes, the old has gone. And the God made alive with Christ. The new has come. We have a new body, and now Christ dwells in our heart. And now, I'd like to ask you these questions. Are you Christians? No one answered. Are you Christian? Do you know what it means, Christian? In all the ages of the church, many believers have been asked these questions at the front of the court in the Roman empires. The answer they were going to say will decide their destinations, whether die or life. The Bible tells us today they were not afraid of death, but proud of confessing, I'm a Christian. And they die. The word of a Christian was originated from the Acts chapter 11 and verse 25 to the 26th. Then Barnabas went to the Tarsus to look for the Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a while years, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught the great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians, the first as Antioch. This is an honorable term for the believers. I cannot say Christians. When people saw my life, and they're going to say, wow, Andrew, it looks like a Jesus Christ that I saw. So they thought, okay, they are, looks like Jesus Christ. So they were called the Christians. But the cost of being Christians was a death in those days. But they never gave up their faith. The Bible shows us what their life was when they were arrested. These short movies show us what their life was as a Christian. What about your life? Somebody tried to kill you because you are Christians? I don't think so. But John read a letter that there are persecutions in this world. But they never give up their faith. What about you? Your daily life in today? The truth that strengthened them and ours to overcome all the fear and pain is that Jesus Christ is alive. And He is with them. And we believe that Jesus Christ with us today. And this is not all what God gave us. The third one, I forgot this one verse. And in these situations, the Apostle Peter encouraged the Christians with this verse. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God you bear that name. Praise God in that situation. And the third, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all apostles, and the last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, can do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I work harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. When Jesus Christ raised on the third day from the wombs, He showed Himself to the people. He didn't hide it. He proclaimed, "It is finished, and now I am with you." And then He encouraged the people, "You have the same faith." And at first, when we look at this verse, we can see the Paul, who he was, and now who he is. The Paul that became humble. The Saul was the previous name for Paul, was selfish and proud of his career, and he persecuted the church of God. But today, we are able to see how much he was humble. After the event, he met Jesus Christ on Damascus. He humbled himself and he could find the grace of God. The grace of God changed Paul's life and other believers. The power of the grace that changed my daily life, and also the power of a grace will change your daily life. The Paul, he is one of the smart guy And then one of the apostles has education, huge education. But he said three times in verse 10, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. And he said, the last time, the grace. This power of grace draws him to near to God. The grace of God is the foundation of his ministry and the anchor of his faith. What about you? When I was a teenager in 20s, I thought the grace, the term of grace, is a more passive word, and the patience is more active word. I thought the passions could draw me near to God. So I thought I need the grace just one time when I got saved. And I have to live by my passions and my desire to serve the Lord. So I did. My strong desire draw me to do work very, very hard. But I found a problem. I had no joy. When people said to me that, wow, you did a great job, I was so happy with that. But when people say, what did you do? It's not worth. And then I was so upset because they didn't understand how much I work hard. And I judged them. You are wrong. I'm right. That was my life, who was driven by the passions. But you know what? I can say this. I was totally wrong. And then Paul mentions the grace of God many times in his letter. Why? Because the grace has a power to change our life and our attitude. I evaluate my life. So black is the passions, and the yellow is the grace. When I was a teenager, my passion was 90%. And I live by grace less than 10. But when you see this chart, when I'm getting old, I realize that the grace is more powerful than my passions. The more I experience the grace of God, the more I rest in his grace. The more I lay down my life before God, the more I'm content in him. The more I'm depending on him, the more God used me to spread his goodness to the people who never listen. This is not a worldly way. What we've been taught, we have to advertise what I'm doing to the people. We have to let them to know how much I work. That is the worldly way. But God's way is totally different. He always remind us, you are in my grace. Therefore, I'm able to say this humbly. Knowing the grace of God is the foundation of the Christian life. Do you agree that? And when I meditate the life of Job, His life looks like a movie. Job had the same flesh that we have now, and he was an ordinary man, but his faith to God strengthened him to endure all the suffering and pain and shame. And Job confessed this in the midst of suffering. The naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave me, and in He, Lord, has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. What we have now, is it really ours? No. It's a temporary. We are stewards for that. Job already knew that. So he could praise the Lord in the midst of suffering and pain, because he knows who God is. And then he able to say this. And now, many people who do not believe Jesus Christ as Savior said, "Oh, the life of a Christian is so boring and so strict. It's a legalism. I don't like that." I've been heard a lot from my friends. Because the Bible said, "Do not this, do not this, do not this, do not this. Oh, no, I'm free. I wanted to live by my free wills. Don't touch me." And they said this last time. The Christian life is so bored and boring. Here in this building, you are the witness. You believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior for a long time. Do you agree this? Have you thought the Christian life is so boring? Do you agree that?
No.
No. I can say never. The living as a Christian, as a believer, the children of God, is the most exciting things in my life. When you look at the people who doesn't have eternal life, not born again, they always, always looking for something to fill their emptiness. They try to drug, and they try to sex, and they try to go somewhere to travel, and they go to the India. They couldn't find it. But what about us? When I was a very difficult time, the best medicines for me, go to the quiet place and pray God and talk to Him. "I'm difficult." And He said, "My son, Andrew, I'm with you. Why are you afraid? Why are you nervous to speak at the front of the people? This is my word, not your word. I want to use you. You are the vessels of my word." This is who we are in this world. And then I like to encourage you this verse. The end of the chapter 15, the First Corinthians, the Paul encouraged the people with this last verse. "But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Through whom? Lord Jesus Christ. Not through our deeds or what I did. No. Through the Jesus Christ, we can have a victory. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. What a great privilege we have now. What you did in your life today, every moment, God remember that. And God will reward. And this is our life in this world. Listowel is a very special town for my family. We came here 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. We didn't know you guys. But we had a beautiful and wonderful fellowship with you. So Listowel became my hometown because you are here. But now, my family is planning to go to Indonesia pretty soon. When I think about it, sometimes I'm sad because I need to say goodbye to you guys, my lovely brothers and sisters. But you know what? Many missionaries and only in 19th, they came to the South Korea. They had endured this because God sent them to South Korea. So now I have the same Bible that you have. Without them, without their sacrifice, how could I hear this good news, this victory? So now we pray that in someday, if God open the door to my family to get Indo, we wanted to pass on this good news to the people who desperately need to hear. But you know what? It's not sad to say goodbye because we're going to see again where? In our heavenly home. We will rejoice. We are brothers and sisters. And Jesus Christ raised on Thursday. Remember this. The old has gone. And the new has come. Now you are in His grace. And taste His grace in your daily life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time, and I presented what you gave us through the month. This is not my word, this is your word. So we wanted to glorify your name. You made everything. I didn't do anything. I just received what you have done for me and for here, the brothers and sisters. And then I commit our life to you in your hand. Use our life for your glory. And we wanted to give ourselves to you because we believe that you are our Father, Heavenly Father, and Good Shepherd. Thank you for leading me to share the gospel to the people today. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.